Yo, 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 ladies and gents, welcome, welcome. It's Friday night, it's 7:30, it's time for the Friday Night Live Show edition of Aid Thompson and Other Disappointments. You cheeky little tinkers, let's go. God, that tastes delicious. So first up, before we, before we really jump into this proper, guys, big shout out to the Patreons. Big doff of the cap to the YouTube community members for joining me tonight. Their names across the screen now. Had a couple of new ones since the last time I did that that video, that intro thing. So what's up to Diana P, Tracy W, Gareth J there? What's up to you guys? I need to do a new video with everybody's names on. Picking up new listeners, new viewers all the time, guys. It's hard to keep up. But yeah, big doff of the cap. Big thank you to all of you for continuing to show me some love. You guys give my funny bone a funny boner. You bring light to the darkness that engulfs me so. If you're on Twitter tonight, by the way, do consider giving me a little tweet, a little little shout out. Let people know what you're up to. Let's see if I can... I can show you my tweet tonight. It's sup, Mother Hubbards. It's Friday night. It's time to get booge. F the Tories. Let's do this. Hashtag Tories F livestock. I can't say the full word just yet. We're too early in the stream. It will cause me all sorts of problems with the monetization and stuff. But yeah, this is mine. You know, you do what you like. Do something that's a bit more you, if you like. But that's the hashtag. All I'm saying is, look, you know, if you want to help this thing grow, and I think we all do, you know, then pop yourself out a tweet there, as indeed I have done. Right, what should we talk about tonight? What's going on up there? Should we do, you know, we'll do the usual rip, roast and ridicule of the week's news, if you like. Then we got an exclusive interview a little bit later with a chap called Terry Phillips of the Working Class Conservative Association. So that's coming up. You definitely want to stick around for that. But first, tonight, live chat people, my question for you for being so good and joining me live on the show. My question for you this evening is a good one. It's very apt, right? Given the local election results, right, which obviously we're going to get onto in due course, given the local election results, let's assume the number of councils, councillors, and the overall polling, if you like, is a glimpse of what we're going to see at the upcoming election, right? Let's assume we finally do get rid of the Tories, right? Then if we propel ourselves forward somewhat, right, out of the current chaos, away from the confusion and pain and hurt, and out to, a slightly removed place of settled serenity. You know, where you're a little bit calmer, you've stopped shaking and trembling all the time, and you're now in a position to look back over the last, 14 years of conservative rule. Imagine that's you. You're now in a calm, centred place and you're able to look back. What has been your favourite Tory lie? Or corruption scandal. Let's broaden it out. It could be a corruption scandal as well. What should they write the ITV miniseries about? What's been your favourite Tory lie over that time? I mean, there's a lot to choose from, right? There's a lot. There's a buffet of bellendry out there. There was the, we started off with David Cameron, didn't we, in 2010 for the coalition. There was the Cameronian whopper that Labour somehow caused the global financial crash. That's a personal favourite of mine. Anyone who knows anything about economics will know how ridiculous that is. So that's, you know, that's up there, certainly. There was George Osborne's line that we're all in this together. Do you remember that? And the austerity was essential, guys. It was tough decisions, but they had to be made despite many, many other countries weathering the same storm and not sacrificing their disabled to the gods of small government. Like, yeah, take this multiple sclerosis sufferer, O ye God, and bless us with a lean estate, O angel of Thatcherdom. And of course, you know, whilst we're on the subject of austerity, there is the fact, undeniably, that Tories are notoriously, murderously small state, even in the boom years, aren't they? So it was all quite obviously just marketing for doing what they ideologically yearned to do anyway. Like, oh, this is definitely essential. Definitely have to do this. Right, okay. What else was there? What other big Tory lies could we choose from? There was Theresa May's "nothing has changed" about the death tax. There was Boris Johnson's myriad of lies to choose from that we patently do not need to rehash now, do we? On a lean 45-minute YouTube stream. We just haven't got time for Alexander DeFeifel, I'm afraid. There was Liz Truss's tax cuts and the deep state rubbish. There's been, what else? Something more recent. Rishi Sunak's "I haven't decided yet" about HS2. Do you remember that? And then it turned out that he'd actually pre-recorded the announcement for Tory conference. He'd pre-recorded that 2 weeks before. So he obviously had decided. God, there's so many, isn't there? So many to choose from. So what was your favourite, good people of the live chat, tonight? And I'm going to periodically be dipping back in there. And obviously we'll be prioritising the Patreons, the YouTube community members, and Super Chats as well. Now, how are we all doing? What are we doing? Let's have a quick look at the live chat, shall we? Say a quick hello to those in the live chat. We've got Sir Larry the Cat joining us tonight. Fantastic name. We've got Tracy Birch, Alex French, a few of the regulars rocking up. Kerry Dodd, what's up, Kerry? Billy Kershaw. I saw one Angry Pagan in there earlier. Fantastic name. Labour Social. My good friend Graham, a.k.a. Labour Social. Tracy Birch says austerity generally was her favourite lie. It feels weird, doesn't it, saying favourite, when really it's like your least favourite. But Kerry Dodd says it's hard to pick a favourite scandal, but the fact that the tractor porn MP is from my hometown. MP for Tiverton. But I'm from Bridgewater, Somerset. The fact that he's from there is up there. Yeah. I mean, do I need to crack a joke about, you know, you can take the guy or the girl out of thing, but you can come, yeah. I'm sure I don't. It's too early in the stream and I'm too sober at this point to be casting aspersions over people in the live chat. So yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. So this week, guys, can we talk about what's happened? Can we once again try to make sense of the senseless? Let's try. It's been a hell of a week, once again. I mean, where do you even start? Monday, I guess, would be, you know, natural place to start, beginning of the week. If we embodied a desire to drag our damaged and tortured souls back through the last 7 days, so traumatized are we that the chaos and depression merely feel like a home we are returning to, don't they? So the week started with the UK claiming their Rwanda deterrent, that isn't actually a deterrent, was a roaring success because refugees were on their way to Ireland, which they weren't. Or at least we assumed that they weren't, because literally nobody could give any verified numbers for them. Ireland responded by saying they would send them back to England, and then England responded by saying they would send them back to France. And amidst that storm of different countries and home offices frothing about how they're going to kick them out of Ireland and then England and then France, in the middle of all of that was me begging somebody to please kick me out of the UK. Oh, well, that's not very patriotic, Aid. Well, no. No, it's not. But you know what? Imaginary male reader with whom I am now arguing, who's interrupting my flow, it would be easier to feel patriotic about this place if you and I weren't just 200 metres away from a river of sewage twinned with Hades. Feel the rage tonight. So yeah, England, Ireland, France, arguing over who should look after the people they all should look after. Oh, and then somehow, between all this tit for tat, newspapers with, you know, front pages of James Cleverly bragging about how they were, all of these people were going to be detained on their next visit to their Home Office assessment, how the scheme was about to become a roaring success. Good old James Cleverly. Well then, from A-hole to AWOL, the few asylum seekers that were ever being earmarked for Rwanda decided to go on the run. And so yes, James Cleverly had to concede that the majority of the refugees for the Rwanda thing had gone off the grid. And of course, then later in the week, Rishi Sunak would offer a Rwanda deal to Ireland, though no confirmation yet on how different this deal will be to the £3,000 handshake that he's had to give the one single volunteer that they've actually managed to fly there so far. It's probably on Rishi Sunak's private jet as well, isn't it? It's like, they're pulling out all the stops to persuade one brown person to please go to Rwanda. It would just really help us out, please. You know, comfy plane, $3,000 in your pocket. It's totally safe as well. It's purpose-built housing over there. It's like anybody who says at this point, right, anyone who says the state need to stay out of industry, like, do you ever hear that? You know, it's not the government's role to be doing this. You know, they should outsource it and offshore it and all the rest of that. Anyone who says it's not the state's role to get involved in industry like that, or, you know, or the government don't do anything for the airline and hotel industries, all of that is talking shit now at this point. Because the UK government, all jokes aside, the UK government are now basically a Rwandan travel agent. They're like, come on, oi, get your bags, come on, yeah, you gotta go, you know. And the poor refugee's just like, where am I going? I to Rwanda? I don't think that it is safe for me. No, you misunderstand me. I'm not saying get your bags, you gotta go. I'm saying you gotta go. You gotta head out there. It is incredible. You're not gonna believe Rwanda. You know, the flights, comfy, the accommodation, and have some spending money. Have £3,000 tax-free. Well, that does sound pretty good. Have you got your passport? No. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You know, you don't even need to worry about that, Ahmed. Just get on the plane. You're fine. We won't even check. You know, honestly, this is the most relaxed I've ever been about rushing a brown man onto an aeroplane with no ID. I'm not even going to search you. You're golden. Off you go. So that was the beginning of the week. Then Wednesday we were introduced to the holy warrior of Hainault, wielding a sword, tearing around North London, screaming about, do you believe in God, right? Waving this sword around, does anyone believe in God? They were quoting him as screaming, while murdering people. And, I mean, it's like, it's weird, isn't it? Like, given he was on basically what could be loosely described as a sort of, you know, medieval rampage, right? and killing, seemingly for, you know, dogmatic religious ideological reasons, right? It does kind of force that age-old question from my lips, doesn't it? It's like, who radicalized him? You know? Running around, killing people, do you believe in God? All of the, like, who radicalized him? Do we think maybe, guys, dear listeners, people in the live chat, do we think maybe there's a, you know, there's a North London mosque, or a parish that might have exposed him to these ideas? You know, is it worth us getting MI5 to infiltrate and go undercover and read about the Old Testament verses and, you know, that they were preaching in this church hall about infidels and pagans? Oh my God, one angry pagan's going to be in a lot of trouble tonight. And non-believers, and there were the Old Testament violent verses that they might have been chanting and radicalizing this poor vulnerable mind with. You know, like, imagine if that guy was a Muslim dude, just like running around with a sword, screaming about Allah or Muhammad while he was doing it. Like, can you imagine the coverage? You would have Suella Braverman and Tommy Robinson starting the holy war that they've spent their entire lives panicking about. That would be what would happen if that happened. I mean, just cast your mind back, guys. Just cast your mind back a few years, right? Islamic fundamentalist Savagesley Rigby, right? And the narrative, the think pieces, the columnists, all of it was just like, fundamentalist Islam, it has to be stopped, it's a violent religion, etc., etc. Front pages, everywhere. It's all about Islam. But a Christian, seemingly, a Christian guy runs around killing kids with a sword, and it's not even on page two anymore. Nothing to see here. No, it's just, I think what it is it's just an unmedicated or slightly overstimulated express reader. That's what it is. Like, if it was a Muslim guy, right? Whatever his mental health, the Daily Mail and the Sun readers would probably already be lobbying us to invade another country. Like, if it was a Muslim guy running around with a sword, killing people and killing a kid as well, they would be like, well, where was he from? Oh, well, he was, you know, he had mental health problems, but also, he was British. No, I mean, originally. Like, that would be how it was reported. Like, the only reason that we haven't called this a terror incident yet and we haven't invaded anywhere over it is because there's no oil in Redbridge. That's the only reason, though. I mean, just as a side note, guys. Just as a cheeky little side note. Like, I do a lot of... I do a lot of episodes where I rag on America, right? Where I take a pop at them over their gun ownership, like the NRA... And I rip into it, you know, because it'll be a story about, a four-year-old finds his dad's Colt 45 and it's loaded and there's no safety on it or whatever. And he thinks it's a toy, like a ray gun or something. And then he shoots his father's bollocks off, right? Like, and I'm like, okay, that's fun. That's a fun story. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes. And invariably, I end up with comments, you know, from Americans, both over in the States and also those that have moved over here, where they tell me to keep my nose out of American politics, which is always hysterical. That is, you know, one of my favorite types of comments. That's like, it's hearing Americans telling other countries not to poke their beaks in to other countries' political affairs. I'm like, have you seen you? And then B, you know, they say, yeah, well, you don't have guns. You might not have guns and like mass shootings, but you like you just have knives. You got a big fucking knife problem over there. You still kill people. You just do it with knives. Like, and you know what, right? I am dreading the next time that I do a, you know, an American gun story, because obviously I'm going to do it, right? It's sort of, you know, I can't resist it. It's my thing. But I just know the next time that I do a thing about America with its guns, and then the American commenter wants to talk about British knives and murders with blades over it. Like, I just know they're going to pull this story out of the bag. You know, and it's just so utterly ridiculous and so perfectly British, you know, that it's like the American commenter is going to be like, oh, yeah, you guys don't have guns, but you still got castles, don't you? And princes and princesses. You might not have guns, but you run around killing people with a goddamn sword. Will you grow up? You know, and it is kind of silly, isn't it? You know, it's enough to get me lobbying for like a British NRA, because this sword stuff is just embarrassing, guys. All right, what else happened in this week? Oh, here's a weird one, right? Let me see if I've got the news story here for you. This is a fun one. Where is it? Oh, here we go. This came up on my feed the other day, right? In the United States, a woman in Massachusetts won the lottery jackpot twice in 10 weeks. In 10 weeks! Can you believe that? One woman hits the lottery jackpot for millions of dollars twice in just over 2 months. Like, how? How is that even possible? Like, what are the odds of that? You know, what are the fucking chances of that happening to one woman twice in such a short space of time? That's minuscule. Like there are refugees, right? There are refugees out there who were standing at a 0.5% chance of being selected to go to Rwanda. And I reckon they saw this, right? After, I reckon before they were like, well, you know, big deal. Like, my chances of going to Rwanda, like, basically nothing. And then I reckon they saw this woman with a, like, say, 1 in 50,000 or 1 in 100,000 chance of getting the jackpot once. Like, proper unlikely. And then she hits it twice, right? And I reckon here's what happened. I reckon refugees saw this and they were like, well, I mean, if that's possible now... I mean, what even is unlikely anymore? Maybe I'll keep my head down for a bit, right? I'm going to go on the run. See you guys later. Like, that is what's happened here, isn't it? I mean, what are the fucking odds of that? Seriously. Does anybody know? Anybody in the live chat? What are the odds of hitting six numbers match twice in 10 weeks? Anyway, what else is going on? Obviously, British and American students, this is a big story. British and American students staged sit-ins to protest at the ongoing situation in Gaza. Israel's internationally illegal bombing of Gaza. And the students have been doing like a sit-in protest to try and draw attention to it, but also to push back against institutions who are trying to ban them for speaking out. And it's been a real, you know, David and Goliath story, hasn't it? A David and Goliath demonstration, if you will. You know, students versus universities. Students versus network news, cable news over there. And all for the benefit of people that they probably don't even know. You know, that's what's amazing about it. So it's been a show of what? It's been a show of defiance, love, pacificity, if that's the right word. You know, it's not been violent at all, is it? and immense Gen Z compassion, I think. And so the media responded by calling them anti-Semitic. So that's wonderful. Great, great job there, guys. And finally, guys. And this really is like a... And finally, like, story. Like, you know when they leave you on a positive, uplifting thing? Like a panda gave birth in a zoo or something, right? Finally, architect of the Voter ID initiative... designed to eradicate the endemic problem of voter fraud. You know, it was so serious, guys. So serious, there were only ever 6 cases of voter fraud at the last general election. 6! 6 instances of it. But they moved heaven and earth to protect us from it. How many instances of sexual assault have taken place in the Conservative Party in the last 4-5 years? Like, is it 40? Is it 50 now? Where's the initiative to solve that, Rishi? Where's the fast-moving response to solve the problem of Tory sex pests? It's just fucking... It's tumbleweed. It's, in fact, you know what? It's not even tumbleweed. It's tumbleweed... blowing up to the door of CCHQ, and the tumbleweed looks over the top, like, into the... He's like, yeah, well, there's fucking nothing going on here, is there? It carries on blowing off. That's it. Anyway, architect of the voter ID initiative, guys. Designed, we think, to cause issues for younger voters. You know, evidenced by the fact that you can... If you're an older gentleman or lady and you have an old person's Oyster card, you can use that as voter ID. If you're a younger person, you have a regular Oyster card, you cannot use that as voter ID. I mean, it's pretty fucking transparent. Anyway, the architect, sorry, get to the point, Aid. The architect of said initiative, Boris Johnson, the guy that rolled it out and told everybody it was necessary, was pictured yesterday getting turfed out of a polling station for forgetting his own ID. So, just bravo, Alex. Incredible effort. Fantastic political steez. I mean... I'm just going to have a quick sip of liquid patience to really digest the stupidity on display there. I mean, I was saying to a friend yesterday, right? Like, here's what I wish. Here's what I hope could have happened, right? It's like I know this never would actually happen because it's a, you know, it's a little bit over the top. But here's what I wish could have happened, right? Is he goes into the polling station. He gets asked for his ID, right? Gets asked for his passport. And he can't produce his passport or any identification, right? And at that moment, I leap up and call him an undocumented migrant, which he sort of would be because he's American. He's not even British for all his flag waving. He doesn't have his passport. He doesn't. And I call him an undocumented migrant, and then he gets bundled off by the Home Office and pushed on a flight to Rwanda. Oh, Lord. Like, don't worry. I know you don't. Yeah, you don't have a passport. You don't. I know. But it's fine. It's fine. There's 3 other guys just down there. Row F. Yeah. They don't have passports either. I think you called their wives letterboxes. I think you're going to get on great. I mean, what a colossal cunt that man is. He's really like... He's unparalleled. I don't know anyone else that I would put on the same tier as him, you know? But, I mean, we should also not rule out, right? Here's another theory. Some people say it was, like, all a publicity stunt for him to be a top 5 news story on the day of the local elections, like he likes the attention and so on. I have a different theory that could also be true. Like, we shouldn't rule out that he rocked up to the hall. He was kind of prepared. But he walks in the hall and he approaches the staff. And he just thought, in error, but he just kind of thought it was permissible that he could use his parliamentary pass, right? So he reaches in his wallet and he's like, I've got it here somewhere. Carrie, where could it have gone? Where's my parliamentary pass, Carrie? And then she's like, oh, they took it off you, love. Do you remember? Oh, right. Ah, yes. Like that is another theory. Anyway, yes. Local elections, guys. Now, at time of recording, it looks like the Tories have lost more seats than they've retained. Woohoo! Yeah! They've lost about, well, I think it's, is it 400 at the moment? It was, like, just before I came online, it was about 400. And it's difficult to understand how Sunak's government can still really continue after this, you know? I mean, they really are on a sort of, you know, a zombie tip right now, are they not? Like, I was chatting to some friends earlier, right? Some of whom may be in the live chat. And I was saying, you know, what's the chances? Like, if this is a bad night for him, like, could the men in grey suits, is the, you know, the cliche they talk about, could they all come and see him and then go, right, time's up, time to call a GE, right? And my friend was like, no, there's no chance, basically, no chance that they'll call a GE. And then on the news, they were even saying, like, all of the talk of a mutiny, like an uprising and, like, ousting him and installing a replacement, all of that. They were saying that all of that, that has all fizzled out too. But to me, it just seems so topsy-turvy, you know? It just seems so arse backwards. Like, how weird is it that you can have Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister? And for the second year in a row now, he's got these abysmal council results. He's got an awful personal approval rating. His party, which he obviously leaves, the Tories are polling about as popular as cot death now. And this lot are still, they're like, all right, call off the plotters. Call off. Yeah, it's settled down. Stand back and stand down, guys. Steady as she goes. All right. And of course, like, the longer that this goes on, right, the fewer grassroots support people that they have to go out leafleting, to go out doorstepping for them. And the longer this goes on, the worse the impact from reform is, the harder time they have at the GE. And I just, like, what does it say about the caliber of candidate that they've got or not got, perhaps, as the case may be, in waiting, that they're on the precipice of a general election now, and the best they can do is the guy that's nosediving them into oblivion. He's still their best choice. It's like they're all crowding around in the 1922 committee and go like, well, I know he's bad, but look at the rest of us. I mean, I mean, don't get me wrong, right? Don't get me wrong. Dear listeners, dear viewers, Pollinator said, it's because the Tories have no one better for the job, as sad as that is. I mean, yeah, that's it. I think that's honestly the crushing, hard truth. That's the medicine that they're all having to swallow. It's like, there's just nobody else. Like, and then some guy like walks into the 1922 committee like, well, maybe we could do a sort of diversity initiative. And no, you can't. Don't bring that talk in here. What are you, woke? Diversity, inclusivity. Will you fuck off? Paradata says, when the best you could do is the guy who came third behind Truss and a lettuce, you may as well just go and have a cry in a corner. Yep. As Tan says, you know, cry wank in a pot noodle time. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't want to, you know, say like I'm hoping for them to turn it around or that I want them to do better or anything. You know, it's good for me, right? It's good for us. I mean, I'm very happy to sit around every few months watching the Tories condemn themselves to the parliamentary equivalent of a festival long drop. Like, I'm delighted to observe that. That shit is my jam. It really is. I can't believe it's free to watch it. I would buy tickets for it. I mean, seeing Laura Koonsberg. Seeing Laura Koonsberg this morning squirm at the results, squirming and squinting. I mean, that was basically pornography for me. I don't know how you guys felt about it. Like, coming to BBC News wasn't quite how I expected my bank holiday weekend to kick off, but these are strange and unpredictable times, you know? The pain and trauma that we've all been through for the last 14 years, it has its own way of working. Psychologically, clearly. I don't know how it manifests as sexual pleasure, but it does. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, guys. I'm not a psychologist. You figured me out. But all I can say is this, is seeing her react to the Labour wins and the Conservative losses, that was the first time in a long time that I've stepped into the shower with empty balls. So, I'm just saying I enjoyed it. Anyway, look, they are, you know, they're a few hundred seats down. Seems like a good result for Labour. Others have seemingly been able to find a weird, contorted way to disagree with that. Sometimes I think on this show, and I've talked about this before, right? Sometimes I think we run the risk on Aid Thompson and other disappointments of, you know, running a sort of ostensible lefty circle jerk. Sometimes, you know, I get guests on, they agree with me. How is that challenging? Are we really reaching out beyond the perimeter of leftism and all of that? And I do want to make sure that we get the thoughts and feelings of people who may sit, you know, across the political divide, on the right of the political landscape. It's, you know, it's important. So I'm thinking, you know, or I thought rather, tonight, what I would do is I would invite someone on from the right of the political landscape to talk with me about these local election results.
So in that spirit, joining me on the line now is Terry Phillips from the Working Class Conservatives Association. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Right, right. Yeah, not at all, Aid. Yeah, it was either this or spend time with my kids. So,
right. I mean, I don't want to keep you from, you know, being a father all that.
No, don't worry about that, sir. No. I told him years ago. I said, no, self-responsibility, son. You know, you raise yourself.
And yeah, how's that going?
Fine. Yeah, no, best way is just let them get on with it, isn't it? You know, if they make a mistake, they learn from it, don't they?
Do they?
Probably.
But, like, if they make a big mistake, you don't need to sort of discipline them or, like, punish them or something?
No. I mean, take me son, right? He was trying to teach himself how to shave, okay? And then he accidentally he messed around and he cut his jugular. He's severed a vein.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, but now he's beating himself up about it, isn't he? He's crying all the time about it. He's punishing himself.
Right, doesn't it bother you at all that in his formative years, is there no sort of father giving him help or guidance or anything?
Formative years? He's seven
and he's playing with razors. Jesus. Do you spend any time with your kids?
I respect their privacy.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about these local elections, shall we? It was a terrible night for Rishi Sunak, a real gift wrapped, bow tied shit pie.
Right, I've got to stop you there, all right? Because it might not have been a full scale national validation of his big oil earth murdering agenda, right? But it wasn't as bad as you guys were predicting.
Right, but that doesn't make it good, though, does it?
Yes, it does.
So hang on, right? If something was going to be a total fucking disaster, and then it turns out to have only been a bit bad, like that doesn't then magically become good. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, well, that's exactly how it works. You know, if you thought something was going to be really, really bad, and then it only turns out to be a little bit bad, then actually that is good. And even if it's not good, we'll just pass a law that says that it is.
God, can I just ask, right? Just out of curiosity, right? Why do you vote Tory, Terry?
Oh, well, that is very patronising.
Because working class people, right? Working people are famously more reliant on social services, your hospitals, your schools, social care homes. And yet, you are politically supporting a party that is ideologically opposed to all of that. They just want to burn all of that down. And probably, if we're really honest about it, probably hold you in utter contempt. I just want to know why you vote for them. I'm just naturally curious.
Well, I am not. But also, I just think, right, I've made something of myself, all right? I think if you want something in life, you've got to work for it.
Ah, right. Okay, I get it. So it's an ego-stroking exercise. It's like you've achieved X, right? And then you vote Tory, and then that confuses people like me. So then I ask you why, and then you say, oh, because I worked hard. And if I just think, yeah, everybody gets on and they just work hard and make something of themselves. Just like me. Just like I did. And then when it turns out that not everybody can do that, then you get to say, oh, well, I guess not everyone can do the thing that I did. So I'm the special cleverest one.
All right. Keep your ethically manufactured hemp ball huggers on, you avocado gargling tosser.
All right.
It is not an ego-stroking sort of thing. I just think, why should I have to pay for your family's social care? Do you know what I mean? You sort your family out, I'll look after my family.
You're taking care of your kids, are you, Terry?
Oh, shut up.
Wow.
No, sorry, me son's just come in.
Right.
I just think, right, this is what it boils down to, okay? I earn 50 grand a year, all right? I drive an Audi A4 with cream interiors, all right? So yeah, I vote Conservative because I like to feel like I'm a big cheese.
And what if I told you, Terry, that even on your 50 grand a year job, you too will end up having to sell your home to pay for your care? Your kids won't stand a chance at getting on the housing ladder. Half of that 50 grand salary you're banging on about goes on high Tory taxes. Meanwhile, the people who bankroll the Conservative Party force them through donors and whips to continue with policies that keep themselves very comfortable, thank you very much, with their lax regulation and lowered to non-existent taxes for the super rich. And actually, rather than you being a big dog on your 50 grand job, what you actually are is a tragic and expendable pawn on a chessboard you don't even realise you're losing on.
Oh, is that right, is it?
Yes. You are your boss's useful idiot, campaigning for your own struggle, surfing on the cliche of the working class self-made conservative.
A cliche?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the one dreaming up a stereotype of a working class man just so I can have an argument with him so I can feel all big and clever about it.
You are?
Well, you've just imagined me, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. I don't even exist.
You don't?
No. I'm your fantasy of a working class fella who grew up to the superficial middle.
Right.
who now struggles to inhabit that space without exposing his own innate selfishness and leave the rest behindism, which you then portray lazily in comedic form as me relinquishing all responsibility, even of my own children.
Right.
And it's all because you yourself come from council estates and state school backgrounds, which you consciously or unconsciously feel a little bit guilty about. But the way that you try to psychologically balance that is by taking other people from similar situations and telling them they should care more to plug your own empathy guilt deficit.
Right. Yeah, maybe you're onto something there.
Me? It's you, remember? I don't even exist.
Right, but... Terry? Terry? Wow. Well, that was weird.
That was, I don't know where he went. Really, really strange. Anyway, let's catch back up with our live chat, shall we? Your favourite Tory lie of the last 14 years. I really feel like it bags this up, right? Like it sort of packages it. It pigeonholes it, for want of a better expression. When I say it like this, right? The most recent generation. Like, how about that? 14 years. Like, that's enough time to have a baby and they basically turn into a sort of young adult. God, that almost sounds a bit noncy, doesn't it? But like, when I was 14 is when it's when you get into the music that you like. It's when you start talking to your parents like you're a bit more of a grown-up, you know, even though you think you know everything, but you don't actually know anything. But I'm just saying, 0 to 14 is, that's a generation, isn't it? That would be like, if it started now, it would be like Gen A. Or have they already announced that? Is there a Gen A? Anyway, get to the point, Aid, once again. Just for once, Aid Thompson, try to stay on point. Right. Favourite Tory lies over the last 14 years of Tory rule. Punninator says, "I'm a fighter, not a quitter." Like, in quotes, by Liz Truss. And that was 24 hours before she lost to the lettuce. Which, so much happens. And the news cycle moves so quickly. I know I talk about this quite a lot, but I think I said this on the solo show earlier in the week, that like literally aliens were confirmed by NASA in the tail end of last year, and now everyone's like, wait, what was that? Oh yeah, they did say something about that, didn't they? Anyway, back to this. Like, it's everything moves so fast that everyone just forgets the stuff that happened. Like, do you remember how big the Where Is Kate stuff was? And now it's like, oh yeah, I forgot that happened, you know? But yeah, you're right. You're bang on, Punninator. It was literally in the not the groundswell, but that sort of spiraling endgame of Elizabeth Truss's premiership, brief though it was. And she did. She said, "I'm a fighter, not a quitter." And was eclipsed perhaps only by the tragic exit of her number two, Kwesi Kwarteng, who. I don't know if you guys remember this. He flew over to New York. Do you remember that? He flew to New York to do something or other. I don't know if it was related to the mini budget chaos or whatever. But he flew to New York while all like everything else was spiraling in London. And everyone was saying to Liz Truss, "Are you going to fire him?" And she's like, "No, I have total confidence in him." And they're like, "You're going to sack him?" No, he's my friend and I've worked with him. You know, I'm sure that everything is blah, 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 blah. And then they interviewed him over in New York. They were like, "So are you going to resign?" And he's like, "No, I've got no plans to resign." And he said, "I'm going to be here." Like, it was something along the lines of like, "I've got absolutely no plans. I'm not going anywhere." That's what he said. And with him, it was like 24 hours later. Like, it's one thing to say, "I'm a fighter, not a quitter," because then it's sort of, there's connotations of like people are like forcing you out. But saying "I'm not going anywhere" and then there's an extra layer of like humiliation to that. It's a bit like Boris Johnson's like, "You're going to need a tank division to get rid of me." A couple of months later, "Yeah, bye, Boris. See you later." What other ones have we got here? Tracy Birch says, we are all in this together. That's probably the worst of them, isn't it? That's probably the most disingenuous, insulting, classist, mean-spirited and cynical phrase that's come out of CCHQ in the entire 14 years, probably. I mean, you know, we all take the piss out of Stop the Boats because, I mean, what even is it? Like, you're distracting people over here so you can continue looting the public purse over there. Like, that's all it is. It's like I said to Lee Anderson this morning. He said something about, like, you know, Reform is more than just a vote-splitting party. We're a party of blah, 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 and, you know, we've done this. And I said to him, no, your party, here's what your party is. Your party is a distraction. I'm not quoting myself, you know, directly. I said, your party is a party of capitalist ultras who want to trash workers' rights. And in order to do that, you use trashy salesmen to sell people hysteria over immigration. And it goes out to, like, people who don't really know anything about economics, politics, immigration or anything. And it's unclear at this stage if you're stupid enough to believe that stuff yourself or if you're just hoping that your voters are. And it's, I guess if I had to sort of clumsily bundle it up, I would say it's sort of on a par with that whole Reform shtick, because it's, we're all in this together. It's pretending to be something, but actually it's doing that for incredibly cynical and cruel reasons. Sorry to get so serious there. Winds me the fuck up. Mojo Sabian. What's up, Mojo? How you doing? Mojo's one of my favourite Patreons. He says, I think my favourite Tory lie would be nurses wanted us to get rid of the training bursary. See, this is what I mean. So much has happened. So many things get forgotten and brushed under the carpet and eclipsed, and they get released on A Good Day to Bury Bad News and all the rest of it. We forget all of the nonsense. Punninator's dropped me a super chat tonight. Thanks, Punninator, man. I'm only a small channel. I mean, it's growing, so that's nice. But the super chat's a massive novelty for me, so I appreciate every single one. Thank you. He says, Aid, snog, marry, kill. Liz Truss, Theresa May, Suella Braverman. Okay. This is... I mean, this is a tricky one, pun. If that's it, like, I mean, I'm interpreting Punninator as like a first name, last name, like pun innate. Who would I snog? Who would I marry? And who would I kill? I'm grateful that you've PG rated this, because the version of it that I used to play at school was like, you know, shag, marry, kill, right? Who would I shag out of that lot? Christ, can I kill myself? Is that an option? Could I marry Suella Braverman and immediately kill myself? Is that, and then, you know, whoever wants to kiss my corpse in the open casket funeral is very welcome to. I honestly don't know. I guess, I mean, Suella Braverman, I honestly think if you had sex with her, it might open a portal to hell and you might get engulfed in it like the fucking Event Horizon. I really think like that might be a thing that happens to people that fuck Suella Braverman. Let me just do a couple more. I'm going to do a couple more favourite Tory lies. Mort says that the Rwanda would be a deterrent. A few hundred could be sent there, tens of thousands coming over by boat. Not mentioning that the French were willing to have them back in France. That fact left out. Yeah, it's always overlooked, isn't it? Even now, in the analysis of it, like the minuscule chance that they might get sent to Rwanda, how could that ever be a deterrent? And also, the reciprocal nature of the agreement. I think it's 200 per year we're allowed to send there, but they also get to send 200 back here. So all of this press attention over, like, the first guy to the Rwanda that's been sent there, like... I want to see the same amount of press attention hanging out in Heathrow when the first guy gets sent here from Rwanda. And I want there to be a big welcoming party from us Guardian readers and tofu-eating wokarati. Like, yeah! Welcome to Britain, son. Favourite Tory line. I'll do a couple more. There's a few more here. I probably look like I've frozen now. Duke Vengeance. Sorry. There we go. He says, how about all guidance was followed? Yeah, man. Big lies. Big lies coming out of the Partygate stuff. I mean, there's just so much, isn't there? We always complain that there's a productivity crisis in this country. Oh, we don't make anything anymore. Honestly, if there was a value for political dishonesty, we'd be the world leaders in exporting. We really would. Nobody could match us. Guys, listen, I got to go. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so, so much for continuing to tune in. I do this every Friday night, 7:30 till about 8:30, 9:15. Usually tonight, I'm going out for a beer with a friend. So I'm going to nip around the corner and meet him in a second. If you are in a position to join the Patreon or the YouTube community, do consider that. It starts at only like £3 a month. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're picking up loads of new Patreon backers and everything. I'm going to do a new London-based meetup. I know not everything is all about London, always. You know, you probably don't want to get caught up in one of those bloody hate marches, do you? But it's, you know, I'm an hour from London, so I can get there, and it tends to be quite central for everyone. So I'm going to do a London-based meetup for all my Patreons, my YouTube community members. So if that, or being credited in the shows like we did at the beginning, if that, or the Skype one-to-ones, or the Discord chat, or getting episodes of the podcast 2 days before everyone else, etc., 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 if any of that sounds appealing to you, or you just want to show some love for the paper reviews and the podcast and everything, then do consider clicking the link in the description. That's it from me. Good night to everybody. Keep it Bimfluencer. Keep it strictly hashtag boob. Boob. I almost said boobs. I mean, you could keep it hashtag boobs if you like. But yeah, take care, guys. All right, peace.